My name's Jack Salmon, and I'm a professor at the University of Illinois at Chicago, and I'll be presenting with my colleague, Meghna Ruru, who's in social and administrative pharmacy at Roosevelt College of Pharmacy. In the preservation of time, I'll just highlight what we're going to be doing, but we're looking at the Medicare drug benefit, and we're trying to look at that with health literacy issues and a study that we did that Meghna developed on the Medicare beneficiary comprehension test. Universality is a principle of public policy, but in the current Republican-oriented market directions, that is waning tremendously. Medicare Part D drug coverage was passed in 2003 on a different set of premises, and one of the issues is how difficult that made things for the senior population. You know the data in terms of number of seniors and all that. We have more people aging and moving into this cohort, and there's a great need for being able to go ahead and make sure that they understand Medicare and the changes taking place in Medicare. As the super committee, you know, who's meeting right now and proposing $685 billion in cuts to Medicare and Medicaid, these changes are going to be based on trying to think that market principles will be the way to contain costs. Obamacare in 2010 introduced some changes. The donut hole that you're all familiar with is going to be closing, unfortunately, all the way stretched out to 2013. Here's other data you can look at fast in terms of understanding that. When our great Chicago mayor, Rahm Emanuel, made the pact with the Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers Association, seniors were able to get a discount if the pharmaceutical industry could keep the brand name drugs in the donut hole. We'll see how that works out over time with other changes. Problems with Part D is we have 1,500 private health insurance companies in the United States. They have all kinds of different plans in Medicare Part D. Not all of them are participating, but we have a huge number. This makes it very complicated, particularly in terms of the options that seniors have and finding out where are their drugs on the formularies to be able to make choices that are appropriate for their interest. You all know the issues with the heterogeneity of seniors and the decision-making problems with that. And again, knowledgeably navigating a drug benefit and a plan choice is very, very important if you're going to be achieving improved health outcomes. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid do try to do some things in this area. They've had mailings, they had this Medicare and You handbook, there's a toll-free line, and of course we all know all seniors are computer literate, sitting by their Macs, so they can go online and make choices and find out. But you're probably from agencies that do a lot in trying to get reach out to seniors and give them assistance and things, family, caregivers and friends and things like that, and there's all kinds of efforts being done, but it's a very, very complicated program. Okay, I'll let Meghna come up and take care of this in terms of the research thing. And again, please stay with us because it's good.
All right, I'll try to wrap this up as quickly as possible. So what we really wanted to look at is how do elderly, where do they get this information about Part D from first, and then how or whether do they do comprehend it or not. Which is why the test was developed. So do they understand sufficiently to make informed choices? In the state of Illinois, in 2006, when the plans came about, we had a couple of elderly at the university clinic who were eligible for 33 plans. I am not a senior by any means, as you can see, and I cannot compare 33 plans by myself, even though I'm a pharmacist. So it's very, very difficult. There is some research on how this communication is conveyed to beneficiaries and whether they do understand and whether there's good uptake on it. Some studies said that they should receive plan comparison information a year in advance. And in the previous slide, I mentioned that the 2006 new Part D plan information was sent out in October 2005. So that's definitely not a whole year in advance. The reading levels for the analyzed Part D documents, according to the Government Accountability Office, were very high. So most seniors read at approximately fifth or sixth grade levels, and these documents were written at very high levels, some as high as college, postgraduate levels. In 2008, again, the GAO went in and looked at the annual notice of change for enrollment that they send out to beneficiaries each year, explaining that they have to re-enroll for the next year's Part D plans, and those were also not communicated effectively. In 2008, we looked at the Medicare and You handbook. Now, just a word on this, CMS would like everybody to believe that this is the most comprehensive piece of information and this is the most official piece of information on Medicare Part D or Medicare in general, which in most, to its most extent, it is true. The readability was tested as a precursor to this study and was found to range from seventh grade to post-college level. I was tested using the Lexile framework for reading, which was developed by NIH a couple of years ago, specifically for health plans. There are, again, too many choices and too much information in Medicare Part D, and the ability to make informed choices is limited by the number of choices that you actually have in front of you, so choosing from five or six is definitely easier than choosing from 33. Again, just to reiterate, patients need to be computer literate, so a lot of this plan information can be compared online. So we need seniors to go onto the Medicare website to compare it. They need to be visually literate. We know that as age goes up, there are vision problems. People need vision correction. Information literate, so they have to know about any savings plans or any other state subsidies that they could possibly enroll in, which there is a lot depending on the state you're in. Numerically or computationally literate, so be able to calculate when you're going to fall into the donut hole, what's your drug cost going to come out to be, and so on and so forth. There are varying reports about insurance comprehension and information amongst the elderly. There's several different factors, so age, income, cognition, education, other sociodemographic factors that are involved in processing all this information that's given to you. Low literacy is highly prevalent in this population based on previous findings in literature. There's been about 20 years worth of research on literacy, health literacy in particular in this population. So the instrument that was developed to test the Medicare comprehension was the MVCT. We used a case vignette approach, so we figured Mary Poppins by now would be a Medicare Part D beneficiary or she would be eligible for it, so we used Mary Poppins. There were 10 questions that were developed, and the test was basically divided into two parts. So the first six questions were standard insurance concepts like your premiums, deductibles, copay, coinsurance, which is in common with if you have home insurance or car insurance. So we estimated that a lot of people would have a fair idea of what these terms mean. And then the second part was specifically managed care Part D concepts, which came about with Medicare Part D. So a lot of understanding about formularies, how do you appeal, so the whole appeals and grievances procedure that is very new and that's very unique to Part D, in fact. Quantity limits, step therapy, prior authorizations, those kinds of concepts. What the test really did was ask elderly beneficiaries to read relevant passages from the Medicare and You handbook, so they were given the handbook with marked passages for each question, and then they were told that Mary Poppins wants to make a decision, so they were given a multiple choice question based on whatever concept it was that we were testing on. It was developed to simulate real-life encounters based on what we've seen in clinics, helping Medicare Part D beneficiaries make decisions and so on and so forth. The readability of the questionnaire was tested using Flash Kincaid and Microsoft Word, and it was found to be fifth grade level. In terms of, it was tested for validity, for content validity, we had quite a few format pharmacy practice faculty and some graduate students in pharmacy administration. We used a 4-point Likert scale, and they were asked to rank the test on 3 parameters: relevance to the study population, the question properties, and whether the answer choices seem appropriate or not. Not being the math major, I could have made computational errors in that one. And then construct validity, I'm going to talk about it after this. So the comprehension framework, it's actually a much larger study than what I'm presenting here. So the comprehension framework was based on the social cognitive theory by Bandura. It came out in 99, I believe. We believe that comprehension of Medicare Part D from the handbook is regulated or works with these factors, the personal, societal factors, which is a lot of them, particularly functional health literacy out there, and then also environmental factors, whether they've received this information prior to the study, what's going on, whether they have any external help and things like that. We had a convenient sample of about 100 beneficiaries. We had 50 at a university geriatrics clinic and 50 in a senior retirement community. Just to give you a little brief description, the university geriatrics clinic serves a disproportionate number of underserved populations. So you'll see later it's mostly female African American. The retirement community, again, was in a suburb of Illinois, and so it was mostly slightly better population in that respect, so mostly Caucasians and income-wise slightly better off. People who were not able to read, did not have English as their primary language, or did not understand or speak it were excluded. We didn't do any hospitalized subjects, and anybody who couldn't complete all the questionnaires included, that data was rejected from the study as well. So the following survey instruments were used. We used sociodemographic questionnaire to get background. NYU paragraph was used for recall because we didn't want to do a full-fledged test of cognition. We used the S-TOEFLA for the functional health literacy and the MVCD, of course. This is just a brief description of the results. The mean scores, so first of all, in terms of demographics, as you can see, the older adults, which were defined as 85 and above, were not that many as compared to those in the 65 to 84 group. The means on the MVCD really varied by gender, so males did slightly better than females, which we didn't really understand why. And then grade level education was sort of self-evident because obviously ability to understand Medicare Part D would be related to somebody's level of education. So people who had were high school graduates or better or had been through college did better than the people who didn't make it through high school. In terms of the two sections, we predicted before we did the testing that people would fare better on the insurance concepts than they would on the newer managed care Medicare Part D concepts, and pretty much turned out to be the case. At both sites, the mean on the second section was actually 0.76, so it's like approximately getting one answer correct, I suppose. Did ordinal regression using what then was SPSS, and found significant associations with health literacy, as again was hypothesized. The construct validity was measured using Cronbach's alpha for internal consistency. It was slightly lower than what was expected, but given the smaller sample size, if we tested in a larger population, we need to figure that out. In terms of factor analysis, we did principal components, and we found 10 factors, of which 4 were retained. So the test really was found to have 4 subscales. The questions in formulary, prior auth, and quantity limits all fell under the Part D managed care concept, so they all loaded on one factor. The question on deductible actually fell under what we called managed care insurance concepts. Plan comparison was your questions on premiums. There was also a question on calculating low-income subsidy, so that went under there. And then the cost sharing was copayment and coinsurance, so both of them loaded on one factor. In terms of limitations, again, it was a small study size, as you can see, only 100 beneficiaries, and it was a convenient sample. We couldn't really do any further randomizations because we were just crunched for time. We did ask questions on the sociodemographic as to whether they had received information on Part D prior to the studies, but it was not included in the final model because The responses actually seemed very variable. They didn't seem very accurate, so we decided to toss that out. The instrument is valid in context in terms of assessing the ability to navigate Part D, and it needs to be retested with a different population. Again, as is predicted or hypothesized, people do understand some of the standard insurance concepts because maybe of their familiarity with having car or home insurance, but have difficulty understanding the newer concepts. And this decision-making really needs to be carefully studied and then tested so that specific populations can get specific type of information to make good decisions. Hopefully, understanding comprehension may help towards a little bit of clarity in decision-making. We also recommend that this test be done with caregivers as well as family members who help the elderly make Medicare Part D decisions. And while there has been a step towards improving Part D, we still need more if we need to see better outcomes in a growing elderly population. That's it. Thank you very much.